Welcome to Second Half Now, a radio show for boomers and beyonders. Tools and tips for the life you want to live from now on. With Dr. Dan Critchett, Second Half Now, sponsored by Dignity Memorial. It's time for Second Half Now. The doctor is in. Now here is your host, Dr. Dan Critchett.
Hey, we're very happy to welcome you to Second Half Now. This is a radio show for boomers and beyonders, and this is the second act of life, second part of life, second half of life, and we are 50 plus, and there are a lot of things going on in our lives that we want to be attentive to, that we want to be diligent about, that we want to be mindful of, and we bring you that kind of content with those kinds of guests every show. So welcome again to Second Half Now. I'm your host, Dr. Dan Critchett, and I want to ask you a couple of questions. What will your life be like 5 or 10 years from now? I guess that's just one question, but let's stop right there. What will your life be like 5 or 10 years from now? Well, that will depend on what you want it to look like, and even more importantly, what you decide and do now to make it look that way. Do you want to make a difference between five or 10 years from now? Engaged and involved in things that matter? Do you want a life that is rewarding and fulfilling, productive and meaningful? We're wise to pause for a bit and learn what we actually can do and create our future reality with solid values and effective planning. On this show, we'll get some insight on how to secure our financial future also to minimize the stress and worry that boomers and beyonders often experience in the later years. Then we'll be able to more effectively live a life that honors God and blesses others. So the title for today's show is this: Planning to Make a Difference. And in case it doesn't come across in an audio fashion, I just want to make clear there's a double reading of that. It's planning to make a difference. Are you planning to make a difference? Is that part of your future? Is that what you want out there 5 or 10 years from now? But it's also planning. So doing planning now so that you can make a difference later. It's kind of a double use of that phrase. So our guest today is going to help us get a handle on that, and I'll introduce him in just a moment. I want to remind our listeners that we have five core topics or five life issues that we deal with on the radio show, and we try to focus on one with each guest, and those five core topics are these. Number one, home and family. Number two, health and wellness. Number three, budget and finances. Number four, heart and soul. And number five, work and purpose. All of that, we want to give you resources. We want to give you encouragement, inspiration, connections, networking, anything that we can so that you can find and fulfill your calling. That's the whole point of our show. And today we're going to focus on the core topic number three, which is budget and finances. And again, the topic title for today is Planning to Make a Difference. Let's talk about it. Our special guest in studio today is Bob Bedritis. And we met at a recent Second Half Now partners meeting and have had opportunity to catch up a little bit at a couple of other meetings since then. And we have talked a number of times. And also, I attended a seminar at his office, and I knew I had to have him on the show. It was very valuable and important information, not only just information, but in a context of a lot of trust and respect. So I have a high regard for Bob Bedritis, and I want to introduce him to our listeners. So thank you, Bob, for coming in today, and welcome to Second Half Now.
Dan, thank you very much. It's a pleasure. I'm really happy to be here.
The things that we have talked about over the last couple of months, we could go on and on and on and on. But we're going to try to take this show for a full hour, and we'll be in two parts. And the first part will be on the radio. The second part will be online, and everything will be available as an MP3 podcast, download, any access that a person needs to have. So I'm just really pleased that you're here. We've been talking about this for a while, and I'm engaged with what your topic is, and I appreciate that. So planning to make a difference. So let's let our listeners get a little bit acquainted with you. And you are with Oswego Wealth Management, or is it just Oswego Wealth?
Oswego Wealth Management.
Wealth Management, okay. And Tell us a little bit about where you are, how you got there, a little brief introduction so people can say, oh, okay, well, I'm going to listen some more because that guy sounds like he's coming from the right direction.
Absolutely. Thank you. Yeah. And I'll start by saying that my story really begins in the early 1940s when my mother and father were living in Riga, Latvia, mm-hmm. and when World War II started, the Baltics weren't particularly important to the Nazis or the Russians for that matter. So when the war ended, however, as most of us know, the Soviets annexed a number of states in mm-hmm. Eastern Europe and Northern Europe. And when they did that, my parents were able to flee to Munich, Germany, where they met and married. And in 1951, they were ready to go to Australia. Passports were obtained. They were ready to go to Australia. And at the 11th hour, the First Baptist Church of Cleveland, Ohio, in a humanitarian mission, sponsored my parents and my mother's parents, my grandparents on my mother's side, to Cleveland, Ohio, which is where I grew up in a very ethnic household in the Lutheran Church in Cleveland.
All right.
Church for me, though, however, was not something that I particularly related to because it wasn't Latvian. And in fact, Latvian is my first language.
It is still?
Well, it's my first language, always will be, although I'm primarily an English speaker now, and I'm so rusty in Latvian, you'd be hard-pressed to call me a native Latvian speaker. Yeah. But it is where it is my roots, and I grew up in a very ethnic household. And I say that to say that I wanted to get beyond just being a Latvian, and just being an ethnic son, an ethnic young man in Cleveland, mm-hmm. Ohio. So what I did is I used sports and I used education to move forward. So I was lucky enough to get a good education, go off to Miami University, spend a little bit of time at Wharton Business School, and got right into the investment business directly out of college. Mm-hmm. And I spent the better part of 20 years with two firms, Merrill Lynch and Payne Webber, ultimately became UBS. So I did that. I did that role in Cleveland, Ohio, or in Columbus, Ohio. Secondarily, I actually transferred while I was with them, San Francisco and New York City, and that was the better part of 20 years in those towns, primarily San Francisco and New York City. And in 2001, I was had an opportunity I didn't understand, but I jumped at it, and it was the opportunity to move to Portland. And I spent a lot of time in Portland when I was in San Francisco and traveling up here.
Yeah.
And I knew this is where God was calling us to live. So in 2001, we moved to Portland, and I had a role with M Financial Group. I was a chief marketing officer of the holding company of M and chief executive officer of the investment arm of M Financial Group, which was the fourth largest privately held company at the time, still a very significant employer in the state of Oregon. I've since moved on and left them and moved on in some consulting roles, and then I joined Oswego Wealth Management as a partner in 2013. And this was an opportunity for me to join a group of guys and gals who love the Lord. We believe we have a ministry more than we have a business. Mm-hmm. And I have partners Craig Childress, Dave Ryback, and Coco Hunt, as well as Kelly Olson, Cassandra Whitney, and Crystal Perez in our office. And we are so delighted when we can help people discover their purpose in life.
Well, that is quite a journey, and I'm really happy to get that filled in. I don't think I remember hearing about the Latvia part, but quite a journey geographically, personally, mm-hmm. all of the development. I mean, you have an amazing background so that right now, in the second half of life, you're able to step up and help people to adopt the right kind of attitude and make the right kinds of plans, the right kind of execution of things in order to secure their financial situation for future years. Sounds like that's in fact what you desire to do, what you delight to do.
It is what I delight to do, yes.
And I don't think you mentioned, and I want to bring this out, that the firm is all Christian. Is that... Am I saying that right?
We are all believers. Yeah. Our staff meetings every Monday morning, we have a two-hour staff meeting. The first hour is a Bible study and prayer, and we pray for our clients, pray for one another's opportunities and burdens and relationships. With that said, I will tell you that our clients are not all Christian clients.
Right.
A large number are, but we believe we're called to serve, and there's nothing more important than the Great Commission,
mm-hmm.
and nothing more significant in our lives than the gospel. And we want to bring the gospel to unbelievers. We want to be involved in unbelievers' lives. We love our believing clients, and we want to minister to them as well, though.
Yeah. Yeah, excellent. Yeah. So we have talked, Bob, about how important it is for boomers. I mean, you and I are in that age group, and we're moving down the track, and, you know, we have our challenges and our opportunities and everything else. Tell a little bit about what we, as we have talked about, how important it is for people in our generation to be proactive and intentional about, and not just sit back and hoping some good things will happen, because that kind of goes back to the title of the show, planning to make a difference. So tell us a little bit about why that's important.
Well, I love the question, first of all. Thank you. And I've used the term purpose-driven mm-hmm. life. And I have four children. Michelle and I have four children. And our daughters, both married to amazing guys in ministry, all four of them, both couples. And they introduced the term intentional to me years ago. Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that you use that word about being intentional with their lives, being intentional with their ministry. And I've adapted that word. I love to use the word intentional. And for me, I find that most of us can be intentional about some things and not very intentional about others. Mm. Of course, the Bible speaks of money as much as it speaks about sin, if not more.
Right.
And we know that money really, your treasure is where, your heart is where your treasure is,
right.
of course. And we find that it's very important, we believe, to line up your finances with your purpose in life and what you're doing with that purpose.
Right. Right. Yeah, I think that's really critical to be thinking about the object of my life, the purpose of my life, and I have to evaluate that and assess that and determine to be the way that God has equipped and called me to be. Otherwise, if we just go on default, we'll go the way of the world, and you know, not that we don't ever make mistakes. But when you're on track and you're more decisive and you're gathering information and building relationships with a destination in view or with a cause or a purpose in view, it makes so much difference in how we live day to day.
Of course. And of course, your peer group matters and how they spend money and how you were grown up. Many of us have money wounds from things we learn from as we grow up. You know, statements like money doesn't grow on trees, for example, is a very popular one.
Yeah.
But I have found that most people, when it comes to their financial lives, there's a minority that are really on top of things.
Mm-hmm.
But most of us, it's kind of like a junk drawer. Dan, I if you have a junk drawer at home, if your audience thinks about their junk drawer at home and you picture it, you open a drawer and there are rubber bands and this
pliers
and that. Yeah, exactly. And it's all there.
Clothespins.
But it's not very organized.
Right.
So we at Oswego Wealth Management are first and foremost, we're financial planners.
Mm-hmm.
That's the genesis of everything we do in a relationship with somebody. And we ask people one poignant question to begin a relationship. What's important about money to you?
Mm-hmm.
And we ask that to couples.
Yeah.
We ask that to individuals. And frankly, the answers are different for everybody. I mean, there are general themes, but one's motivation, it's very different. And ultimately, when we get through that process, then we really understand what drives you, what's important to you, and what matters in your life. And then we can align your money with that. I think it was Thoreau who said that most men lead lives of quiet desperation and go to the grave with the song still in them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Socrates said the unexamined life is not worth living.
Yeah.
Many of us examine our lives on multifaceted levels, but we tend to think that the financial area is a little complicated, just a little too much to really focus on.
Sure. Right.
That's the work that we do.
Yeah.
It's a safe environment for many people. It's where the culture meets the church, by the way.
Yeah, right.
But it's a safe environment where you can really explore that question, what does money mean to you,
right,
and then drill down and understand how to live a life worth living, an examined life.
I appreciate that, really, that context, because for any of our listeners who are in the phase of accumulating, or maybe they already have done that and now they have a pile of resources someplace, you have to ask the question, what is this for? Or what is it? What do I want to do with it? Because otherwise it's just earthly stuff, right? It's just money.
Well, exactly. And if you were to ask me, what is the mission of our firm, Oswego Wealth Management, I would tell you that we help individuals and families make intentional decisions. Mm-hmm. And then we work with them to determine how much is enough, which can result in the increased charitable giving of time, talent, and treasure, and ultimately helping to fulfill the Great Commission.
Mm-hmm.
We think that's a worthy cause.
Yeah. Wow. That's extraordinary and I think rather unique in the sense of a whole firm being like that. Because I know many Christians who are in your line of work, but they're in a firm that isn't completely, you know, that way. It isn't completely operating by biblical standards.
And God really brought us together as a team. Yeah. I'm confident of that, because when I left M Financial Group and I had a consulting career to institutional money managers, hedge funds, private equity firms, and I was still getting on airplanes, flying everywhere, and not really thinking about my junk drawer in my head. It wasn't a financial junk drawer. It was just a what is my purpose in life junk drawer, which was in my head. Totally disorganized. The pliers were who knows where in the rubber bands in my brain.
Right.
But I wasn't really thinking about it. And around 2013, the Lord had really been impressing on my heart that I needed to make a change and live a life worth living.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in that period of time I decided to go back to the future and go back to financial advising, not to be an executive or a consultant any longer. And when I did that, I started my own firm, a solo practitioner in Lake Oswego. And through the Holy Spirit and the Lord's work, He brought me together with Craig Childers, we'd been going to church together. We were in the same small home group, Michelle and I, Terry, Craig, and some other friends. And we'd been meeting for 8 years together.
You knew each other well.
We knew each other well. Yeah. We'd been praying for one another and opening our lives up to each other for 8 years. Coco Hunt was one of the first men I met in this town when I moved here in 2001. Mm. Ironically, we met at a health club working out in the 6 a.m. brigade before we all went to work. And Dave Ryback, I got to know well over a few years. Well, Dave, Coco, and Craig had been operating under the same umbrella of philosophy and the business that they did, but they were running three solo practices in the same real estate for economies of scale of sharing operations and assistance and so on and so forth.
Right.
And they were speaking in earnest about creating a firm right after I'd started my firm. So 4 months after I started my firm, I was graciously invited in to become a partner with the other three men. Yeah. And so the four of us have been a partner at Oswego Wealth Management now for a little over a year and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's incredible. You, as we talked earlier, you have shared some, you already gave the Socrates quote, but you also shared some of the wisdom of the Cheshire Cat and Yogi Berra. And we'll hear those right after the break. Don't go away.
Do you have an elderly parent that is becoming isolated, not eating well, feeling depressed or fearful of losing independence? Do you know your options? Need peace of mind or know what is best for yourself or others during their golden years of life? At no cost to you or your family, Golden Placement Services can give you hope in the midst of great change. Even if it means staying at home is the right option. Call the Golden Girls at 503-723-7145 today. That's 503-723-7145 and schedule your non-obligation appointment today.
Helping to plan a funeral for someone you love is a painful process. It's one of the most emotional things you'll ever have to do. But imagine how much grief would be spared if people planned for themselves. Though it may sound difficult or uncomfortable to even think about, the experts at Dignity Memorial Funeral Homes and Cemeteries can help with a free personal planning guide that takes you step by step through the process. And of course, Dignity Memorial will even help you complete your plan with the expert assistance of trained and caring advisors. There are a lot of very good reasons to plan ahead. Make sure your final wishes are respected, sparing your loved ones the added grief of planning for you and having to pay for it. If you choose to fund your plan early, you can even lock in current pricing, avoiding increases due to inflation, and take advantage of budget-friendly payments. there is a free informational seminar that includes a complimentary meal at a restaurant in your area very soon. Find out more and ask any questions you may have by calling Katie at 503-807-5715. It costs nothing to learn how you can protect your loved ones by planning ahead. Give Katie at Dignity Memorial a call today at 503-807-5715.
Life changes have happened and it's time to sell your house. That can be a difficult process when you've lived there for decades, especially under tragic circumstances like losing a spouse. 24/7 Properties takes the time to go over the details of your unique situation and understand your needs. We do what we can to maximize the value of your home. Learn online at 247prop.com.
I'm Jeff Edmondson, founder of 24/7 Properties. Call me today and let's have a conversation about selling your house. No obligation, no cost. Let's find out what's right for you. Call me, 503-780-3030, 503-780-3030.
We are back with Bob Bedritis in studio here with me, and we are talking about the subject planning to make a difference. I want to make sure that I give a big thank you to some of our partners who help make this show possible, not just paying the radio time, but also bringing support and encouragement and all kinds of things that they provide for us. So in addition to the sponsors that you just heard from on those spot ads, we also want to mention Hearthstone Senior Living, Transformational Finance, Dan the Mortgage Man with First Priority Financial. I saw Dan yesterday, and there's a new name for that company. They got acquired by, I can't even try to say it because I'll probably say it wrong. So anyway, Portland City Acupuncture with Mariko, and the Next Phase Coaching with Eric Howard, and Dr. Dan Miller with Beaverton Chiropractic. So as we left off, Bob, we were talking about kind of the context and the wisdom that goes into this, and all we're talking about purpose. We're talking about being intentional. We're talking about being not living a wayward life or an unexamined life, like Socrates said was not worth living. Mm-hmm. And purpose driven. How many times have you read that book?
It's a terrific book. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I've led Bible studies on it and have written questions for those groups and everything. So, but I said before the break that we're going to hear about the wisdom of the Cheshire Cat and Yogi Berra. So help us out here. What do they have to offer us?
Well, first of all, I'm apologizing in advance. I am a little like Polonius. For you Shakespearean buffs, and my kids have a lot of fun as my partners and our team does, making fun of some of the comments and statements I come up with. But being a reader and a theater guy, I just we think about Alice and the Cheshire Cat, that when she asked the cat, which road should I take? And he asked, where are you going? And she didn't know. He said, well, I suppose if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. And of course, Yogi Berra famously said, when you come to the fork in the road, take it. So.
Good old Yogi. So you have a kind of an approach that you use. I don't know if this is consistent in your firm, but you visualize, speaking of Shakespeare, you visualize a three-act play. And let's hear kind of an initial introduction about those three acts, and then we will cover more of that in a little bit more depth and detail on part two of our show.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
So act one, act two, and act three. And what you're saying is this is a decent way to adopt a pathway or a functional structure for a person's life.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. And again, my metaphor for a three-act play may not resonate with everybody, but it does with me. And right. So I share it. And it does with a lot of people that we work with. So if you think of a three-act play as the first act is preparation, if you will. It's where you introduce characters. The second act, you create the conflicts created. And a third act is where resolution occurs. Mm. Well, I look at the first act of a play or for a first act of life in my metaphor as I'll call it 0 to 30 to simplify it. Okay. That's the preparation stage. Sure. Act one is preparation. It's where I decide, where do I want to go to school? Where am I going to live? Who am I going to marry? Will I have children? Will I not have children? What's my worldview? The second act.
Is that like, what do I want to be when I grow up? If I grow up?
Well said.
Okay.
Well said.
Right.
That must be a Peter Pan quote in there somewhere.
Yeah, good point.
So, and then the second act we'll call the success act. And that's really where people, both Christian and secular people, really mm-hmm. say, how do I make my mark on this world? How will anyone know I was here? Mm. And oftentimes in a capitalistic country like ours, it's measured by financial gain. For an artist, it's perhaps the painting that you do. For musicians, it's the song in your heart that has to get out. For a business person, it might be I'm keeping score with money, or it just happens to be making money because I'm doing what I love. And then it's that third act that I would call the act of significance for many and not so much for others. So, of course, we all know Bob Buford's book, From Success to Significance,
right.
Halftime. Thought that was a terrific book. But right. So it's that act of significance. And as anyone will tell you in theater, it's that third act where all the action is.
Exactly.
And so we do meet people who they come through the second act, they've made a lot of money or not made a lot of money. They're coming to the last act and they're thinking about, how do I rest until I die?
Right.
But for those who say, no, I think God put me here for a purpose.
Right.
There's something I'm supposed to do.
Right.
There's this thing in my heart that I know the Lord's calling me to do. That's the person who benefits most from the work we do in the third act.
Exactly. And I appreciate that. And folks, we're going to carry this over to part two. We want to make sure that you get to a device of some kind and tune into part two, because now we're going to dig a little deeper and we're going to ask a couple of other questions. In fact, there's a parable in the New Testament that Bob and I will discuss about the rich fool. And he was a fool because Jesus said he was. And what's that context and what's that story? So get over to our website, secondhalfnow.com. Tune in and hear the whole show right there. So we want to encourage you to tune in every Monday right here on KKPZ 1330. That's in the Portland, Oregon market, 5:30 to 6 p.m. And then go to part two, of course, as I mentioned, around the clock and around the world. And if you have questions about today's guest or topic, want to get in touch with Bob Bedritis, who is my guest today under the topic Planning to Make a Difference, then go to our website and just submit a contact form. We'll get back to you and everything will be clear. So thank you for listening today. Second Half Now, a radio show for boomers and beyonders. I'm Dr. Dan Critchett. We're signing off. We're saying goodbye for now, but get over to the website and grab part two. You hear the whole thing with Bob Bedritis. SecondHalfNow.com. We'll see you there.
Thanks for listening to Second Half Now with Dr. Dan Critchett on KKPZ 1330 The Truth, sponsored by Dignity Memorial. To hear the rest of this program, find out more about the topics discussed today, or ask questions, visit SecondHalfNow.com. That's SecondHalfNow.com. Tune in next Monday at 5:30 p.m. for more tools and tips for the life you want to live from now on. Until then, visit secondhalfnow.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advice offered through Oswego Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Welcome to Second Half Now, a radio show for boomers and beyonders. Tools and tips for the life you want to live from now on. With Dr. Dan Critchett, Second Half Now, sponsored by Dignity Memorial. It's time for Second Half Now. The doctor is in. Now here is your host, Dr. Dan Critchett.
And we're coming right back at you with part two of our show that is titled Planning to Make a Difference. I'm your host, Dr. Dan Critchett. I'm still hosting this show. How about that? This portion is coming to you on a podcast. It's only available online. I'm not on the technical team, but we think we have it on YouTube with the audio, and we also have it on iTunes. But you go to our website and you get a download there. And you can listen to it, we say, around the clock and around the world. So the podcast here is the part two of that show, Planning to Make a Difference. And I am very pleased to say that we're continuing with our guest, Bob Bedritis, with Oswego Wealth Management. And Bob, again, I want to say thank you for coming in today and welcome to part two of Second Half Now.
Thank you.
All right. So let's continue. We left off talking briefly, painting the scene about this three-act play, and you kind of gave the summary of each of the plays. Let's dig in a little bit more. So act one is preparation. So these are the early years. You're growing up. You're getting into adulthood. You're kind of wondering about the future in life, and you're kind of getting jobs or starting a career, getting married, having kids, all of that stuff. But that's preparation. Is there anything else that we need to understand about the function of that particular? I mean, if we were listening to the radio show, if you're over 50, it's too late to do anything more about preparation in those ages. But anything else that we want to say about that before we move on to Act 2?
Well, I'll go back to the idea of being intentional.
Yeah.
And to the degree that, you know, as the saying is, wisdom is wasted on the youth. Mm. To the degree that one has wisdom in that preparation stage, 0 right. to 30, I was struck when my daughters were married. And when my daughter Kim was married 3 years ago, she and Alan wrote their own vows. Independent of one another, they both expressed the same sentiment, and it was, I vow to live with you in humility, and they didn't use the word poverty, but just the idea that their life, their intentionality was not to be a young, educated couple that was going to go out and try to make a lot of money. They were living the Great Commission already in their 20s, and they vowed to one another that that's what they purpose to do, and that's what they were going to do.
And declaring that in front of family and friends.
And declaring it in front of everybody.
Yeah. So let's take a minute and think about maybe most of the people that are listening to us are either parents or grandparents. What can we take from the wisdom of preparation at Act One that we might be able to influence our kids or our grandkids to be more intentional, be more attentive, be more focused? Is there anything that you can say that would help us take on that challenge?
Wow, that is a terrific question, and I've never thought about it in context of the work that I do. I do think about it in terms of how I raised my children. Michelle and I raised our children, and how I would give advice or guidance and try to mentor and be in relationship with that generation.
Right.
But I'm not sure. Honestly, I'm not sure that I really have a great answer, that anybody in the audience might not have a better one.
Okay. So. Well, let me put it this way. What if they can contact you through our website, or we'll have a chance to give an office number or something, that maybe someone that's listening to say, you know what, I think I need to take on that kind of a challenge with my kids or my grandkids now. Can I come in and can we talk about that? I mean, that seems to me to be a deposit in the next generation that could have benefits and have fruit, you know, far beyond what we might even imagine now.
Oh, I absolutely agree.
Yeah.
And if you think about the idea that if one's life purpose is ultimately one of giving, right? For Jesus gave.
Yeah.
Right? He didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And in the idea of giving, to give to that next generation or the or two generations down. That's a beautiful thing. And our process, we'd love to talk to people about how to do that and their ideas. One of the things that has come to mind as we were talking about this is that our firm is connected with Dave Ramsey. And for those in the audience who know Dave Ramsey, I think Dave is now the third most listened to radio program in America.
I wouldn't be surprised.
He has a lot of followers. He has terrific advice.
Right.
And we've been anointed, if you will, chosen to be one of his ELPs, endorsed local providers. We're one of just a few here in Oregon, in the Portland area. And we get referrals from Dave for those who call into his radio show or ask for a connection to somebody. And through that process, we help anybody and everybody. We'll help anybody from a boomer trying to understand how to make that third act of life of an act of significance. And we will help a 23-year-old who just got out of college with so much debt they have no idea how they'll ever get through it, and they need to work through the baby steps to eliminate the debt and begin start saving and to build a life. We'll help anybody. And frankly, that's an area I think we help that generation, 0 to 30. Well, maybe not zero, but certainly
into 30, the 20s.
Well, a couple of quick things. First of all, while people are listening and kind of thinking about what that could mean, if they could get a handle on how to help their next generations, the kids or grandkids, let's give your office phone number real quick.
You can reach me at 503-342-2249. 503-342-2249. Or very simply, bob@oswegowealth.com. And it's Oswego, as in Lake Oswego, so bob@oswegowealth.com.
Yeah. I just want to, we're kind of rolling here, kind of off the track from what we intended to, but I want to take one more step here with this generational thing. You said Jesus came to give, and absolutely, totally. And, you know, we as dads, I mean, we give and give and give and give, and we love doing it. We want to see good results. But here's another concept. What about the exponential or the multiplication of that giving? In other words, so if I can deposit in my kids or grandkids this wisdom and this beauty of being intentional and all that stuff, what impact could they then have on others? So it's not just me giving to them. It's through them giving to who knows. Right. And I think if a person can think of that exponential, I mean, God is a multiplying God. I mean, he loves to multiply things, particularly good things, particularly his things. So I just want people to call you and say, come in and say, Bob, help me do that. That's something that I haven't thought about, but I want to do.
Terrific point. Yeah. And one of the most significant things in my life was when I was a new Christian in my 20s. I was surrounded by two men that poured their life into mine, and they discipled me, both separately, one more formally, one more informally.
Yeah.
One was a peer of mine. The other was a man 20 years older than me, and they poured their life into me through discipleship and taught me the math of discipleship. And, of course, I'll give you another quote. Albert Einstein called compound interest the eighth wonder of the world.
Yeah, for sure.
He also said God does not play dice with the universe. But the eighth compound interest, and that really is discipleship. So if you disciple one,
right,
and they disciple one or two, and it goes on and on and on,
right,
the world's reach very quickly, as opposed to filling up a big football stadium with people and reaching everybody at one time.
Right.
It's that ability that influencing someone who influences someone, who influences someone.
Right.
That is really,
explosive.
That's really Jesus's example with the disciples,
right,
isn't it? With the apostles.
Right. And in the book of Acts, the terminology that is used by Luke initially in the growth of the church is, and so many were added to the church. And then after a little while, after the church is really catching fire, he uses the term multiply. And that's when things really, anyway, I don't want to go too far down that trail, but some good stuff. Thank you for bearing with me on that. But that raises our intentionality. That raises the vision of what we could actually do if we take care of things now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So preparation. Now let's get more into where our first line listeners might be, the 50 plus, in Act 2, which you have as success. So let's hear about how that works. What do you do?
Well, it is an act of accomplishment for many. I will tell you that during that act for me, I never lost my faith, but I'll say that I lost my focus.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say that there were times, and Wall Street is a pretty focused, vibrant place.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was in New Jersey taking a train in the morning or getting in at 6 in the morning and getting home at 8, 9 at night. It was very easy to be tired and to really focus, to lose focus on what mattered. That's where my brain was, that junk drawer, if you will.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be that way. Folks, learn from my mistakes. Learn from my mistakes. It doesn't have to be that way. To be able to have a ministry, to be able to have a purpose, to able to make a difference while you're working is certainly available to everybody. And it's available to me right now. It's
right.
Why I'm so pleased and so excited about what we do right now.
Yeah. Well, and I think people fall into that, not just because life is so busy, but just because they don't know any better, or they don't have enough motivation to examine their life and to think about what they want to do, or maybe they're not sitting under the right preacher or teacher, and they don't have that discipling relationship, you know, that will take them through that.
And the world is a strong influence.
Absolutely.
And peer groups are a strong influence. So
right.
If you're working for a big company, a big secular company, which I was, many of us are, and they're there's an expectation, and you know, we're in a new world, aren't we?
Right.
Where what you can say and can't say in the workplace, and it's easy for a Christian to go underground and say, "I'll do my job,"
mm-hmm. right,
and lose their intentionality.
Right. Right. Good. Appreciate that. Okay, so that is accomplishment or Act Two success. So is that what we would know, recognize as accumulation? That's the time when we're kind of building our career and putting, you know, resources aside or accumulating. Is that what's happening?
Right. And that's where you're walking away with a 401k and your mm-hmm. your Social Security is getting funded, and mm-hmm. you've got a mortgage on your home and maybe building equity in a home if you're an owner, not a renter, and creating college funds for the kids and the kinds of things that people do
sure.
during those
okay.
years. It's very monetarily driven.
Right. And the sad fact, I can't quote it exactly, but a high percentage of us in our generation will retire and leave the job with not nearly enough to last, because our retirement is going to be 20 or 25 or 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you might have a handle on that stat more than I do, but I hear from others that a very low percentage of us are well prepared, you know, for that, you know, that last 20 or 30 years,
mm-hmm.
which is far more than we've ever had as a culture.
Absolutely true. And yet, one doesn't need to be discouraged from that.
Yeah, good.
And I'll tell the story of my father.
Yeah, I was hoping you would.
Yeah, because yeah. I told the story of my father earlier, my father and mother. So they came over to the United States. So when the war broke, World War II broke out, my father was 16 years old, had to drop out of high school, and that's what he did. He actually had a gun on his shoulder and was wounded, actually, on the eastern front, with the Soviets, with the Russians. And anyway, my dad, when they came over, he started pushing a broom for a vending company.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a terrific career, and he was an amazing provider, and he's around today. I love him so much.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what he had to work with. And my father never made a significant amount of money in dollars back then, or even in today's dollars. He never made a significant amount of money. However, in 1992, and I was an advisor, and I was his advisor, my dad was able to retire, and he turns 90 this year. And in 1990, when the wall came down and the Soviets were politely asked to leave Latvia and Poland,
right.
Czechoslovakia, and Estonia, and Lithuania, and the countries became independent again.
Right.
My father's been back 42 times. Matter of fact, he was back for several weeks this summer. And the reason I tell you that story is to say that my dad, who never made a lot of money, that I set up a program for him, and we set up a distribution program, segmented how he would take his money over his retirement. And again, remember, we didn't start with a lot. Well,
mm-hmm.
here we are, 1992 to 2016. It's a lot of years, from his age 62
yes.
now to his age 90.
Wow.
And in that period of time, my father is living independently in his home today. His health care is taken care of, and he has no concerns about his income, because he doesn't have to worry about a check showing up in the mail or not showing up in the mail, and it's handled. And in 2012, my mother died at the age of 89 in her own home.
Yeah.
4 months of hospice care. Again, no concerns about medical issues. She was loved, well taken care of. She was with her family when she died. I was so lucky to have been able to fly back and be there with her. And we were able to do that. And we were able to do that for somebody who didn't make a lot of money. But we were able to do that through a process that we use at Oswego Wealth
yeah.
Management that segments how money is taken. See, most advisors do something like, not all advisors, but they do something like, give us the pile of money you have, and I'll just put it in the middle of the table, and then every year I'll just take a percentage of it, 4%, 5%, and you'll be fine. We'll just take the 5% every year, and you'll live, and we'll take it forever. The problem is, of course, is that if you retire in a year like, say 2007, 2008, and now the pile's half as big,
right?
What do? Take 10% now? Or do you take half amount of money and you have difficulty maintaining your lifestyle?
Right.
We have a process that completely avoids that.
Mm.
The proof is in the pudding, as I say. My father, to this day, no financial issues, independence, health care provided for.
Yeah.
My mother able to die in peace in her home well taken care of as well.
Well, so. I want our listeners to tune into that because that's so critical. I've imagined that many people listening will say, well, you know, I've never made a lot of money. And if you're raising kids and sending kids to college and everything else, you don't, you know, unless you're making a lot or have an inheritance or a real estate, you know, portfolio or something, mm-hmm. you don't get there. In fact, Wall Street Journal reports that 86% of us boomers would rather die than outlive our money. Yeah. So what do you do? I mean, you know, when you see the, in fact, that happened to my mom and she had investments. My dad had died a few years before and the crash came or the decline or whatever that's called. And she panicked. She didn't sleep well for a long, long time. So I want our listeners to hear that because if there is a way that we can take what it is we do have and enter into a process that can assure us or at least strengthen the likelihood mm-hmm. of us not having to fret and stew over, you know, paying the electric bill, then I think that's valuable. I appreciate that. Let's hear your phone number again.
503-342-2249. 503-342-2249.
Or bob@oswegowealth.com. We all know how to spell Oswego around here. Okay, so we're going to look at Act 3 about significance. In other words, so what is this all about? And how can we engage in life now, if whether we're 55 or 65 or 75 or 85, so we actually can do what we believe God has prepared us for and shaped us for over all the bumps and bruises and the wins and losses and everything else of life? We'll get right back to that after the break, so don't go away. We'll be right back.
Do you have an elderly parent that is becoming isolated, not eating well, feeling depressed or fearful of losing independence? Do you know your options? Need peace of mind or know what is best for yourself or others during their golden years of life? At no cost to you or your family, Golden Placement Services can give you hope in the midst of great change, even if it means staying at home is the right option. Call the Golden Girls at 503-723-7145 today. That's 503-723-7145 and schedule your non-obligation appointment today.
Helping to plan a funeral for someone you love is a painful process. It's one of the most emotional things you'll ever have to do. But imagine how much grief would be spared if people plan for themselves. Though it may sound difficult or uncomfortable to even think about, the experts at Dignity Memorial Funeral Homes and Cemeteries can help with a free personal planning guide that takes you step by step through the process. And of course, Dignity Memorial will even help you complete your plan with the expert assistance of trained and caring advisors. There are a lot of very good reasons to plan ahead. Make sure your final wishes are respected, sparing your loved ones the added grief of planning for you and having to pay for it. If you choose to fund your plan early, you can even lock in current pricing, avoiding increases due to inflation, and take advantage of budget-friendly payments. There is a free informational seminar that includes a complimentary meal at a restaurant in your area very soon. Find out more and ask any questions you may have by calling Katie at 503-807-5715. It costs nothing to learn how you can protect your loved ones by planning ahead. Give Katie at Dignity Memorial a call today at 503-807-5715.
Property values are on the rise, higher than they've been in years. It's time to take the equity in your home and do something different. 24/7 Properties will provide you with custom personal care to get the maximum value out of your home. Jeff Edmondson of 24/7 Properties is a licensed general contractor as well as a real estate agent, giving you the expertise on how to effectively get your home ready to sell at the highest price. Visit Jeff online at 247prop.com.
I'm Jeff Edmondson, founder of 24/7 Properties. Call me today and let's have a conversation about selling your house. No obligation, no cost. Let's find out what's right for you. Call me, 503-780-3030, 780-3030.
We are back. Thank you for hanging in there with us. I think that this has been a very engaging and challenging conversation, Bob. So we're going to finish up with this last little segment here. But we want to make sure that we get your office number, your office phone number at Oswego Wealth.
It is 503-342-2249.
Perfect. Why don't you say it again in case we didn't get clear?
503 832-342-2249.
Perfect. Thank you. So we want to give a big thank you to others of our partners who help make all of this possible. We announced some of the other partners at the on part one, and now we want to include a mention of Northwest Web Creation Company, Eastside Printing, Warner Pacific College, Multnomah University, KKPZ, this radio station, as well as the Christian Chamber of Commerce Northwest and Serving Our Neighbors. So we want to jump right back in and finish this show. We're going to go to Act 3. And again, as a reminder, we've been talking about this three-act play. Act 1, the first 30 years or so, is preparation. Act 2, that next chunk of years, is success or accomplishment. And Act 3 is, I'll turn it over to Bob, because I don't think we've mentioned that yet. So
well,
take us to Act 3.
Act 3, significance.
There we go.
Again, it was Pascal, the French mathematician and theologian and philosopher, who said that God has created us all with a God-shaped vacuum,
yeah,
a God-shaped hole,
right,
in our chests.
Yeah.
And what we do, and again, that's what I did in my second act, we just try to fill it with material possessions and success and accomplishment, right, and power and money. And many people transcend into their third act feeling exactly the same way. And I know many of these men and women, and the men I know, it's their, they have a tea time at the same time every day. They play a little pitch afterwards, have a glass of wine, go back, sleep at night, go back the next day, rinse and repeat, do it again. That's a life for some people. Mm-hmm. They feel they deserve to rest because they worked hard for those first two acts.
Right.
But if somebody feels that calling, that God is calling them, and that vacuum needs to be fulfilled,
right,
and they know they have more purpose in life, and they want to leave having fulfilled that purpose, then that's an ideal client for us. That's a client that we really love to work, mm-hmm, with, because we can help that first individual.
Right.
And we can help them with their investment planning,
right,
and whatever money, what's important about money to them. But we really get excited when we find out that somebody really is looking for that purpose, or they already know their purpose. But
right,
we do have a process that helps people clarify it, really distill it down to the crucible of understanding exactly, mm-hmm, what their purpose is, and then aligning their money and resources toward that.
Wow, I like that. As you were talking, I was thinking about the word vacuum, and I don't know if it's a quote or not, but I think I learned in science, and I've heard it since, that nature abhors a vacuum, meaning that it'll do everything it can to fill that. And when we are, if we're not in line with God's purposes for us, we will fill it, like we said, so that, because we can't have that vacuum. Otherwise, we're just totally empty, and no one wants to be that. So we might stuff it with a lot of artificial stuff that is not satisfying, and we may go to our grave like that. Would it Thoreau say, with a song in his heart, a song in our heart? Yeah, yeah, we don't want that. So, Bob, I'm just thinking that people that are listening, and you know, and I'll say this too, that if we want to have some help with this, getting on track, finding out what that purpose is, and we're going to trust somebody else with our resources. I mean, after all, we spent the first two acts, you know, putting all this stuff together. There's a principle in business, and probably some other disciplines as well, where you want to do business with somebody that you know, like, and trust. I think of my doctor. I want him in that category too, right? Or my attorney or whatever else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not critical in everything. I don't have to know, like, and trust my paper delivery guy. But with this, it's incredibly important, particularly when it's purposeful. So if somebody's thinking, okay, I'm buying this this pitch that you guys are saying about, I want to be live a life of significance. I want to be purposeful and intentional about that. And if I don't have somebody that is helping me with that, that's why it's so important, this know, like, and trust.
Mm-hmm.
You want to,
mm-hmm,
comment about that? I mean, I know you feel very engaged and very connected with the other partners in your firm. How has that shown itself in the people that you deal with, or the clients that that are interested in what you offer?
Sure. Well, the first comment I'll make that if you, in fact, have somebody like that, a financial advisor that you know, like, and trust, by all means, embrace that. And congratulations. You've really found somebody terrific, and you should stay with that man or the woman that's or the team that's taking care of you. Mm-hmm. Know, like, and trust. That's such an interesting concept. And one of the things that I've developed over time is that I really believe God's put me on this earth to serve some people, not all people, mm-hmm. some people. And we have an initial meeting where we just see, are we a good fit? An initial meeting with me at Oswego Wealth is simply, let's get together. If it takes a half an hour, an hour, 2 hours, it doesn't matter, as long as it takes to satisfy you. And let me try to understand you. Please try to, and let's understand each other, and let's honestly see if we believe we're a good fit. Mm-hmm. And if we are, it's a very intimate relationship. You mentioned a relationship with your doctor, perhaps with your attorney, perhaps with your pastor. You really need to have a relationship where you believe they have your back. You believe that you can trust them. You believe that there's confidences are kept. That's the relationship I believe you really deserve to have with a financial mm-hmm. advisor and a wealth manager. And so that's the step. And we've had meetings. I have had meetings with people who have lots of problems, interesting problems, by the way. Problems is a good word to say. There are lots of good things we can do tax-wise, financially, align their money, and really do some things that can help them. And what I've learned, for better or for worse, over time, if there's a sense that we're not a good fit that I have, and I still want to reach out and say, well, I still believe there's an opportunity to work together, frankly, they're feeling what I'm feeling too. Mm-hmm. If I feel we're probably not a good fit, they're feeling that we're probably not a good fit. And so they should find somebody else who is.
Right.
But it's that first initial consultation that that's our discovery process. We want to learn, are we a good fit? And then from there, we would just move forward with the process. So
I'm just thinking it's hard for a person to take the initiative to try to find somebody if they don't have somebody already. And if they come and see you and they say, gosh, nice try, but that's not a good fit, and they don't want to get to a dead end. They don't want to get to a cul-de-sac, where they're just going around in circles. And maybe it took enough initiative to contact you and to see you that now they're worn out and they got to wait a year. But I'm just imagining that the other folks at your firm would be a decent referral, right? I mean, maybe it's a personality thing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's somebody that would maybe be a better match just personality-wise. Is that something you can do?
Well, first of all, I promise not to wear anybody out. I promise I won't wear them out, at least intentionally. We offer something we call a second opinion service, a portfolio stress test, a portfolio evaluation review. It's something we do for people, and it's often a very easy first step. Somebody will say, you know what, I am feeling that perhaps my current advisor is not the right fit for me. But I don't know why. I don't feel compelled. There's no sense of urgency to make a move. What would I use for a rationale to have that first meeting? Well, our portfolio evaluation service is a formal review of what you're currently doing. And we mm-hmm. take a look at that, and we align that with the risk you're taking. And we let you understand, where is there overlap in your portfolio? Where are you perhaps taking much too much risk? You know, right now, as we sit here recording this program, we're through a 7-year economic expansion. This 7-year bull market that we're in is the second largest bull market in the history of the United States stock market.
Mm.
And it is not inconceivable that there could be a correction. I'm not calling one. I don't know what the future holds. Nobody does. But it's probably a very good time to get that second opinion. And we do that on a formal basis. And when we present it, and back to your question, one, you say, I like it. I think we're a good fit. I love the planning work you do. I align with you, Bob, mm-hmm. and let's go ahead and move forward and let's get a client relationship. A second person might say, I think this is good, but I'm not sure we're a great fit, and I'll make a referral for you. We know many, many people, good, solid financial advisors in town, and let me make a referral for you. Let me make a couple referrals for you to advisors, not us, other people in the Portland area that we respect, that we know, like, and trust.
Right.
And then the third area, and this has happened, I'll take a look at your portfolio and I'll say, this is great work. this is really in line with what we would have done. You should stay with where you're at, and congratulations. Good. And it was very nice to meet you.
Good.
So
what I like about that is once they take the initiative one time, they're going to end up somewhere with somebody that is a good fit, because of either they will be a fit with you and your firm, or they'll be a fit with a referral that you can offer to them. Mm-hmm. So,
and if it's appropriate, and it often is, we will connect you into the Dave Ramsey world.
Okay, sure.
For those who really need some education and process, and really to understand how to create a good, healthy relationship with their money.
Right. And some of that would be covered in Financial Peace University, which is kind of Dave's storefront, or is the main thing that he's known for, right?
Mm-hmm. You're right. That's right.
Now, do you teach that, or do you recommend it? Do you have an association with that particular piece?
We do have an association, and we've been through it, and we've been a part of it. I'll be teaching it in this fall.
Oh.
So again, bob@oswegowealth.com. Be happy to let you know dates. We're just putting it together right now, and this fall we'll be running a class.
Nice. Yeah. At your office?
We haven't determined location. It depends on how many people sign up. We can hold a maximum of 25 in our office conference room. So if necessary, we might move it to a church or another place to do it. So
I like that. That's good. So I want to switch gears a little bit and have some clarity here, because I mentioned before we came back for part two about the parable of the rich fool. And it's found in Luke chapter 12. And just summary is that this guy had apparently been blessed with productive crops and fantastic fields and a harvest in big barns that were stuffed full. Mm-hmm. And he said, oh, man, what am I going to do? You know, I've got so much. So he's accumulating. I'm kind of keying into this second act. And he said, I'm going to build bigger barns and put more stuff in there so I can relax. And I think you were using that terminology, relax or rest. Mm-hmm. And so we can eat, drink, and be merry. A whole different approach, but kind of the same function. So if a person has been successful enough to have resources set aside that can be managed or whatever else, tell us, what is the difference between the attitude about life and about money and about resources and about the future between what you're suggesting and what you're talking about and that rich man who just wanted a big builder barn so he can, you know, have it easy? And that's the man that Jesus said, you fool. This very night, your soul is required of you. And by the way, we all have that date coming, right? Mm-hmm. We all have a date when our soul will be required of us, and this life is over. Mm-hmm. So I might have just preached a sermon there.
I think you preached one, yes.
Yeah, right.
Nicely done.
Do you have anything to say after all that?
Well, I would add just one or two thoughts. And the rich young ruler, when Jesus was sad when he walked away. He walked away sad, and Jesus' heart was grieved when he went out for him. So Jesus cared about the young man. The fool who felt he had all things stored in his barn and he'll just live that life of ease, that was also a fool in that story as well.
Right.
But I'll go back to a verse that I mentioned just a little bit earlier, is that where your treasure is, your heart will be also.
Right.
The order matters. Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. So our rich young fool, his treasure was his money. Therefore, that's where his heart was.
That's where his heart was.
And so his heart was pulled toward the money, and he couldn't follow Jesus, who loved him.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with wealth. There's nothing wrong with significant wealth. We live in a nation that allows people of purpose, people of success, to have significant wealth. But where's your treasure? And if your treasure is the gospel, and if your treasure is in relationships, and if your treasure is with other people, then money's just a tool.
Right.
And generous giving and utilizing money for the sake of the kingdom, that's where, when we see a heart there, our hearts are very joyful to see that.
So, oh, I bet. Yeah. Because you can help a person with that kind of a heart to achieve a very godly purpose for their life. I like that a lot. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at our list here, Bob, and we are kind of winding down here, but I wonder, there are a couple of other things we wanted to mention. Is there anything that strikes you as something we should close with or something we want to make sure to get in?
No, nothing comes to mind. I'll say I'm very grateful for the opportunity to be here with you today, Dan, and to speak through this. I'm also grateful for your ministry with Second Half Now. I have such respect for what you're doing and the service that
you
provide.
Thank you.
And onward and upward for us. We just believe that there's a population we're meant to serve. And on behalf of me, my partners, Craig, Dave, and Coco, we couldn't be more excited about an opportunity to serve who we're meant to serve.
Yeah, I like that a lot. So, folks, as we wind down, if you have a lot or a little, it seems to me it would be very fitting to call Oswego Wealth Management and just bring it to them. I mean, maybe it's confusing to you. Maybe it's overwhelming. Maybe you don't know what to do with the little or the lot. But it sounds to me, as we talk with Bob Bedritis here, that he can help you get that squared away. And I really appreciate this. It resonates with me a whole lot because that's what this program is about. Second Half Now. That is, I want to make a difference in what I do today and in the next days is going to make a difference. If I'm called to a life of significance, it's not a legacy so I'll have a bigger tombstone or that I'll have a bigger name or people will think highly of me. That's not the point. How can I be faithful what God has entrusted to me and as he has shaped me to fulfill that? I mean, you've been through some terrible times and maybe next time you're on the air, we can talk about that. But all of that is part of the shaping. I've been through some really rough sledding too, but that has shaped me. You look back and you say, I would be a totally different person and maybe in a lot of ways a smaller person had not those things happened. So folks, if you are going through some tough times, some difficult things, or with your kids or your grandkids or your finances or your marriage or whatever, or have been through them and now you're on the other side and you're saying, man, what was that all about? This is what it's about. Being intentional, having that life of significance where you can do the things that count, the things that matter, and deep down the things that you really care about where God is using you. So I just want to thank you for listening to this show, and this is part two. If you're hearing this part, you want to make sure to get part one. It's on the website, secondhalfnow.com, and we're winding down. You can contact Bob Bedritis. I think he has his office phone number here again.
So it's 503-342-2249.
Perfect.
I've been there a year and a half, Dan. It takes me a while to memorize a number I never
use. It takes time, right? So,
yeah.
That's right. And you never give that number out, probably. Is it even on your business card?
Of course, yeah. It's on my card, yeah. Most people call me on my cell, but a good starting point is through our business
line. Yeah, okay. So, and is it oswegowealth.com?
Oswegowealth.com.
Okay, perfect. If you want to get hooked up with Bob, I really encourage you to make that call or to get online and look at that website. It's got a lot of good stuff on there. I really appreciate that. So I want to encourage you to tune in every Monday at 5:30 for our first 30 minutes, which we call cleverly part one. And then you go to the podcast part for part two, which is on our website, secondhalfnow.com. And again, this show and all of our shows are available 24/7. In other words, around the clock and around the world. So this, let's see, what am I going to say here? I'll just close with this. I want to thank you for listening. And together, and I really believe this, with my guests that I've had over the last couple of years and with our team, with our partners, we are building a valuable resource, which is for all of us. So I am your host, Dr. Dan Critchett, saying goodbye for now. And until next time, may God help you live a life that honors him and blesses others. Let's meet again right here on the website or live next Monday, 5:30 p.m. on the radio. KKPZ 1330, The Truth.
Thanks for listening to Second Half Now with Dr. Dan Critchett on KKPZ 1330, The Truth. Sponsored by Dignity Memorial. To hear the rest of this program, find out more about the topics discussed today, or ask questions, visit secondhalfnow.com. That's secondhalfnow.com. Tune in next Monday at 5:30 p.m. for more tools and tips for the life you want to live from now on. Until then, visit secondhalfnow.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advice offered through Oswego Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.